I will not be moved. And I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need.
Shall I fear? Hello, everyone. Good morning. I guess it will be morning when you'll be viewing this. Right now, it's Saturday afternoon, sitting on my couch. Welcome to my couch. My task this morning is family altar time, so I have a few prayer requests and a scripture verse for you, and Brother Luke has prepared a message and has linked it also to the website, which you'll be viewing next. So welcome to Family Altar Time from my couch. Here we go. For a verse to read this morning, I picked Psalms 18, and it says the first six verses of Psalms 18. It says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. And he heard my voice from his temple. And my cry came before him, even to his ears. Amen. We are certain that God can hear us this morning. We know that. And it's comforting to know that our prayers, our cries, our times of distress are heard by God. They reach his ears. So let's remember that this morning as we join in a family altar time together. For a few announcements, there are some announcements. Again, it's saddening, but I guess it's the fact of life where we're at today. The Passover and communion service will be canceled. Easter sunrise breakfast is canceled. We still are on hold for an Easter service. It's not expected at this point, but we're not quite ready to say completely not going to happen, but it's not expected for an Easter service. But definitely no breakfast on Easter morning. You don't have to worry about that. Also, the missions conference, which is scheduled for the end of April, is being canceled. A lot of those details had to be worked out currently. And ahead of time. And so because of the uncertainty, the mission committee has decided to cancel that. So there is no missions conference at the end of April of this year. Prayer requests are Delbert. Delbert had a chemo treatment about a week ago, and it has been very difficult and a little bit harder to spring back from this one. So let's remember Delbert in our prayers. Also a note from Lloyd Esch. Lloyd says that Thailand continues to slowly tighten the rules because of the virus. Currently, we are not to leave our Providence. The malls and restaurants are closed except for takeouts or delivery. Schools are normally closed at this time of year for their summer break, although they have also closed all teaching centers and classes. We are not to hold any meeting that includes more than 10 people. Because of that, churches have not been meeting. Pray for the team as we continue to live what we have been teaching to those all around us, trusting in the Father rather than our earthly possessions. Pray for the Father to bring healing to those physical and emotional stressed during this time, and pray for wisdom to know how to continue to make the Father's name known through these difficult times. Lloyd also notes that currently we are not able to teach English, so we are helping a local couple build a playground. So let's remember Lloyd and Mary Ellen is there also dealing with this virus all the way across the world in Thailand. A couple of things also to note from last week's prayer request. Let's continue to remember Cheryl Brown and again, Marianne Engel, who is very ill and would appreciate our calls and notes. That would be appreciated by Marianne. And let's continue to remember Dawn Neff, which is scheduled surgery for April 16th, as far as we know, still. And again, we'll see more when the time gets closer. So those are the few prayer requests. There's one other note for an announcement. Myron has mentioned that the Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Center, their Walk for Life is now going to be virtual. So they're actually not walking in May. But if you'd like to participate with that virtually, please contact Myron. He would love to hear from you. Myron is doing well, and he would love to hear from folks, especially about the Pregnancy Center Walk for Life, if you get a chance. It is Saturday and not Sunday, so Saturday's birthdays we can do. So there's a list of them here. Julian Note, happy birthday. Elvin Weaver, happy birthday. Crew Weaver, Elvin's grandson, happy birthday, down there at Fair Play with Brandon and Jenny. And also Amanda Weaver, Sean and Amanda, happy birthday, Amanda. So I'm not going to sing, sorry, it's just me. But anyhow, happy birthday to you all. So if there's no other announcements, guess not. We are going to have a family altar time prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God, again, we are grateful that you hear us. God, we are thankful that we can join together in prayer in our many different households. God, help us to be shining lights to our neighbors. Help us to know how to reach out. God, I didn't share this, but help us to reach out to our neighbors. We have a neighbor directly beside us who does have the coronavirus. God, just pray that you would be able to reach him as we get groceries and surround him in our care, still trying to remain a safe distance away and yet care for him. God, I pray for all of us as we interact with our neighbors. Pray that we would be able to be your light, to be a witness for who you are. God, that we'd be able to shine your love to those around us. God, there's many folks that have need, and if nothing more, in need of your peace. Help us to remember that as we go about our lives. Help us to remember that the love that you have for us is truly the most important thing that we have. God, we are grateful again that you care for us. And God, we call out to you this morning on behalf of some brothers and sisters. We think of Cheryl Brown as she's continuing with chemo treatments, dealing with some nausea. God, we pray for her that you would be near to her. We pray that the blood clots would continue to heal. God, we trust you for that. We also pray for Marianne Engel as she's very ill right now. God, we ask you to minister to her, even when we can't reach out and touch her. God, I just pray that you would be near to her, that you would be able to sustain her and draw her near to you through your word, God. We thank you also for those that are experiencing birthdays, for Jolynn and for Elvin and Crew and Amanda today. Thank you again for just the way that you provide for us. We thank you for the way that you care for us. And it's strange to have a birthday and kind of be all by yourself. And yet, God, you are here. You are the one that meets us when no one else can. God, we are so thankful that you can visit us in our dark rooms and in our prayer closets, God, and that you visit us through your word. God, also thank you for Myron. Thank you for his smile. Thank you for his involvement in the Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Center. Pray that you would bless him for that. Help us to remember Myron also. We thank you again for the way that you do provide again and again for us, God. In many ways, some of us now truly are trusting in you for provision. God, we know that you can come through. God, from our past, as we look behind, you have been faithful. And as we look forward to our future, and even though it's uncertain, God, we know even in the bottom of our hearts, that God, you are faithful. It's in your name. You're a faithful God. God, we are so grateful to that. Help us to rely on you. Help us to lean on you. Help us to be encouraged by your word. And again, this morning, we know for certain that you hear us, even in your ears, God. You hear our cry. God, I pray for the family at New Covenant. As they're scattered abroad in many different homes and many different neighborhoods, pray that they would be able to connect to you, and the source of strength and energy and light that you provide would be a source in their neighborhoods, that your name would go out, that your name would be praised, and that glory would be brought to your name, God. We thank you again for the way that you do take care of us. God, I know some folks are working and some folks are not working, and some folks can't work and want to, and yet here we are all together in separate little boats, all in our little homes, spread across the county. God, again, we are grateful that you can see us individually, that you hear us individually, and that you care for us. God, what an exercise. I think right now of an exercise that sometimes we've done, as rarely, I guess, in corporate setting, where we all pray out loud all at once. And you're able to hear all of that mumble, God, and we are grateful. I guess that's exactly what's happening now, God, in all of our homes. You're hearing all of our different prayers. You're hearing all of our different thoughts. And you're there to minister to each of us, God. Again, we are grateful that you're able to be everywhere all at once. Your omnipresence is just an incredible gift. God, thank you again for the way that you care for us. God, we just are thankful for your word. God, I pray for Brother Luke as he is prepared to bring us a message. Pray that that it would be, again, real and meaningful, that your word would become alive, that it would nourish us, that we would be able to be fed, and that your name would be strengthened and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings to you. Enjoy your family time. May it not be a pain, but may it be a neat time in your family, your own family's history, a time in which you were able to spend time together in meaningful ways. And bless you, especially men, as you lead. And again, I think of homes that aren't able to have a man in the house in them. Help us to remember to pray for you all too, as you're missing your men, especially in these times right now. But yeah, men, lead on courageously. Carry on, and bless you.
Greetings to you in the name of Jesus. We are here today in my office. I asked Karen to join me here today and just to say hi and add some beauty to the scenery here. So Karen is going to say hi to you. Greetings.
Greetings, everyone, from our house to yours.
We are doing well. And continue to trying to adjust to this here stay-at-home thing. We are finding some games to play and that kind of thing, and keeping ourselves busy. So I know this is a difficult time for everyone, and it's a time that we're not used to. Something is different. We are all trying to adjust to this, and I trust that it's going well for you as you're making those adjustments. And hopefully we can continue to speak life into this situation. And I hope to do that with you here this morning, just to take some time to look into God's word and a word of encouragement. And I know that we all ask these questions, you know, is this thing real? Is this pandemic real? Is it a hoax, or is it just, what is it? What is going on? And so this morning, I'm hoping to speak maybe to some fears, maybe speak to some, speak some encouragement to the what maybe is happening in your life and some of the things that you're struggling with. I know that the question comes up, and I may have spoken to this before, but let me speak to it a little bit again. Is the question comes up, is this really something that is just all from Satan, or is God involved in this? Is this something that that we can trust that God has a hand in it? And I want to assure you this morning, we can certainly trust without a shadow of a doubt that God does have a hand in this. In other words, when I say that, is that God has not missed this. God has not missed this. There is a lot of emphasis put on the fact that this is all of Satan. Might be, but you know what? It still comes back to the fact that whatever Satan does, God has allowed. And we look at the scripture where Job was faced with the temptations of Satan, and we see how Satan came to God and asked God permission to harass Job, and God gave him permission. So indirectly, it would appear that God had a hand in what was happening to Job, the trials that Job was going through. Another story that comes to mind is the story of the children of Israel when they were in captivity in Egypt. And then Moses came on the scene and they went to Pharaoh and they asked him to let the people go. And in the scriptures recorded that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And the result of it was that Pharaoh got back to the people and said, you need to continue to make your bricks, but I'm not going to give you this stuff to make them with. So there was a hardship that happened, and it was based on the fact that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so I look at those things, and it brings me some comfort to know that God is somehow involved. God has not missed it. He is going to use this to his opportunity. He is going to take this situation, and out of it, we are going to become better people. So the message that I felt God was laying on my heart to share with you this morning is found in Proverbs 4. The key verse is Proverbs 4:23. It says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And you can turn to Proverbs chapter 4 if you wish, because I'll be spending a little bit of time there. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And so I think it's so important as we're in this time and going through this here time of uncertainty, and I want to speak to you again this morning to encourage you to continue guarding your heart, because I believe that is essential this morning in our survival and in how we will come out of this, is how we guard our hearts now. And I ask this question, what is your reaction? What is your reaction? You know, we looked at last Sunday, I had to put the message up that Dave preached in 2017. And again, we are praying, seeking the Lord as to what we can share with you through this time, and felt like this was a word, a message that really spoke to our current situation. And as we prayed about it, felt good about having you watch that sermon, and I hope and trusted you did. And in that, Dave talked about the valleys. He talked about the valleys being the place where we grow. We're all familiar with mountaintop experiences and valley experiences, and recognizing that it is quite different to be on the mountaintop versus being in the valley. And it is in the valley where the flowers grow. It is in the valley where the soil is fertile. And so as we go through difficult times, when we're tried and we're tested, I come back to the statement again that one of the most important things that we can do is to guard our hearts. You know, I ask the question again, what is your reaction to what is happening? We hear a lot of different reactions. You talk to different people and you hear different reactions, and some people are quick to say, oh, it's just all a hoax. Some people are quick to go off the deep end, may I say, perhaps, in following some conspiracy theories and stuff like that. So I just caution you again this morning. My words are to speak to you, to encourage you, to guard your heart, because there is a whole lot of stuff going on out there. There's a lot of things being spoken that we need to guard our hearts. And as I said, the question comes up, did God allow this pandemic? What do you think? Another question I had is, how should we respond to the fears of our neighbors. And again, I believe this is really essential as we are called to be light and salt in this world. And God has called us to reach out to our neighbors. God has called us to be the people that will represent His kingdom in these times of crisis and challenge. So as you're working through your own emotions and your own responses, your own reactions to all this stuff, it is essential that we stay close to God and stay in the Word and stay focused on Him and use this time to be able to reach out to the lost and dying world. See, the blessing is that we have dealt with the fear of death. As Christians who are born again, washed in the blood, we have already dealt with the fear of death. If you're born again this morning, or you know without a shadow of a doubt where you will spend eternity. There is no question about that. And the fear of death, you have dealt with, you have made things right, you have prepared your heart, you have guarded your heart and are ready. And if you're not saved this morning, my heart goes out to you, and I want to assure you this morning that the same Jesus that died on the cross for your sins and whose blood was shed for you, that same Jesus is waiting for you to call upon Him and to make Him your Lord and Savior today. And you will have the assurance, you will have that hope, and you will have that confidence and assurance that you can walk through this time. The Church of New Covenant has never gone through something like this before, so how does the Church respond? How should the Church respond? And those are questions that we all have on a daily basis. How should we respond to this? And another question I ask is, are you praying for each other, calling each other, and making this a time where we may be apart in body, but we can still support each other by prayer? And I shared that Wednesday night, that there's one thing that the government, that Satan, and all the enemies of God cannot do. They cannot make us stop praying. You can pray, and you can be an encouragement to each other that way. That is one of the ways that we can interact with each other, is through continuing to pray for each other. Now, I want to just reach out again and say that to the congregation, if there's any physical needs, don't be afraid to holler. Get in touch with your lay pastor. Get in touch with me. We will try to meet those needs as best as we can. And which gets back to, again, to the title of the message here that I have for you is Guard Your Heart. We hear a lot about physical preservation, about wearing masks and washing your hands, wearing gloves, social distancing, and those kinds of things that all speak to physical preservation. And the question that came to my mind as I thought about that, and as I thought about sharing with you today, is that what are we doing about spiritual preservation? Are we being as diligent as we are to preserve our physical being? Are we being just as diligent to preserve our spiritual being? Because we know that the scripture says that it is out of the heart that, as it says here in this verse, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It is from the heart that things come, that that cause us to be fearful. It's depending on what we put into heart. What's in the heart is what comes out, is the thing that we're experiencing. So how do I preserve my spiritual life? Be careful where you focus your time. And I go back again to saying, as you focus, and as you focus, the important thing is how you react. And I think about that as it relates to your family, as it relates to the unsaved people around you. It is critical. It is important. It is essential in how we react. While I realize that this virus, if it is real, and I'm not here to question that, but in its realness, it does cause a lot of fear in the heart. And I know that, and I understand that. And my heart goes out to you today. If you're experiencing a lot of fear and you can't seem to put it to rest, my heart goes out to you. But at the same time, I want to say that there is no greater fear. There is the fear of death. I understand that. But there is no greater fear than the fear of coming to the judgment seat of Christ without the covering of the blood of Jesus. That is something to fear. That is something that is truly to be feared. So how are we guarding our hearts and our children's hearts? Those are the things that, and it's out of our reactions that these things happen, that we find ourselves reacting in ways that may not honor and glorify God. Just an illustration. There was a mother of 8 children that came home one day to find her youngest 5 children huddled intently in the middle of the floor. She walked over to see where the center of attraction was, and to her horror, she discovered that they were playing with 5 baby skunks. And to her horror, she ran panic-stricken into the room. She shouted, "Run, children, run!" And run the children did, each clutching one terrified skunk. Can you imagine 5 kids with skunks all running in different directions? And the farther each child ran, the louder the mother probably shouted, causing all 5 to panic and to squeeze their skunk. And the skunks, of course, don't like to be squeezed. In trying to solve the problem, the mother had created 5 new ones. All of us at times have had a problem blow up in our face and end up as a stinking mess. Those situations can knock the wind out of our confidence and leave us feeling flat and discouraged. Sometimes our reaction for self-preservation causes more issues in life. Sometimes our reaction for self-preservation causes more issues in life. So my challenge again, as we think about that, as you think about the whole reaction and how we react, how do we respond? Do we get angry? Do we get fearful? Do we get frustrated? We're told to stay at home. This is difficult for all of us, that we're to stay at home and we're supposed to limit our social activity. And so some people have questioned, you know, is this really something that is acceptable? Is this something that is our government allowed to do this to us? My answer for today is yes, they are. We are here, and we are supposed to be the examples of people who live in obedience to our leadership, to our government. And today, I say that one of the best things that we can do, one of the things that we can do is, as children of God and as citizens of this country, is to be obedient to what they're asking us to do. I do not believe that what they're asking is to deny our faith. How we know that there are times that has happened. We know that all the apostles were martyred and that kind of thing for their faith, our forefathers for their faith. They are not asking us to deny it. This is for a period of time. And then the question comes up, well, what about the scripture of denying, of not getting together, forsaking the assembling of yourselves, is the scripture. Well, this is just for a period of time. We're not setting this as a precedence of not getting together. I'd like to just read a quote from Oswald Chambers. It says this: "We are apt to think that everything that happens to us is to be turned into useful teaching. It is to be turned into something better than teaching, that is, into character. We shall find that the spheres God brings us into are not meant to teach us something, but to make us something." Let me read that again. God brings us in, the spheres that God brings us into are not meant to teach us something, but to make us something. And if we look at our circumstance, if we look at the opportunity that we have to be able to reconnect with family, to spend time in God's Word, to spend time alone with God that we have been given, it is a beautiful thing. There's also a quote from Gary Wilkerson's book, The Divine Intercessor, that I'd like to read for you. The absence of an inner conflict is one of life's richest blessings, and it comes only from God. Let me read that again. The absence of an inner conflict is one of life's richest blessings, and it comes only from God. There is no other place that we can get it. You cannot find it anywhere else. You will not find it in books and whatnot. I believe that this is an excellent time where we can take this time to focus our minds again. I had to think of Hudson. My grandson Hudson was taking a bath last night, and his brother was taking a bath before him, and as we were talking to Sonia, Hudson was planning his bath, and this was his plan. He wanted bubbles and music for his bath. And maybe that's all it's going to take for some of us this morning. Maybe today, or this week, or in the coming weeks. Stop and draw yourself a bath. Put some bubbles in and turn some music on, turn the lights down, and just take a good soak in the bath. So I think Hudson had it figured out to a certain extent. So, how do we guard our hearts? How do we guard our hearts? And let's go back to Proverbs 4, verses 23 through 5, verse 2. And let me read this here, and then we'll pick it apart a little bit. Proverbs 4, 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Listen to verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Chapter 5, verse 1 says this, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. So how is it that we guard our hearts? And I think this is essential to the time that we live in and to the experience that we're in right now, and the thing that we're going through, and we don't know. Our hearts are troubled, and we're just not sure about what all that God has planned for us. And can we do this? Can we go through another month of staying at home? Or if it goes beyond that, can we do this? Here's some things to help us to guard our hearts. And looking at verse 24, it says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. I think it is critical. It is so important of how we speak right now. It's so important of how we speak as we are in this her time, and the things we say to people are so important. And I know one of the challenges that they gave us at Byler's in being in customer service there is that when people come in, to not speak negative, not to join into the negative conversation. And that's good. I affirm that. I think that is essential to us being able to be a light to the people around us. So what we say with our mouths is so important. And think about it again. As you're in your home and you're around the table, or you're listening to the news or whatever it might be that you're doing, it is essential in how we speak. Our children are listening. Our spouses are listening. And we can be the ones. You can be the one. Be the one who will speak life into it. Who's not going to enter into it with your mouth. Because your mouth, the things that come, it's not what goes in, but it's what comes out that defiles a man. It's our mouth. The things that we spew out of our mouth are the things that will make our heart then feel bad. It is not part of guarding our hearts. As we guard our mouths, we guard our hearts. And so, one of the things that I believe the scripture speaks to here in verse 24 is to put perverse lips far from you. And I pause here to say that unfortunately, I've heard a lot of bad mouthing of the government. And again, if I could just caution, that I don't believe this pleases the heart of God. I don't believe it pleases the heart of God. We are to honor, to pray for, to respect, and obey those that have been put in authority over us. Going on to verse 25, it says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet." And again, I believe that this is one of the things that we can get caught up in media. We can watch the news, and we can watch the news and watch the news some more. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Where should your eyes be focused? Where should you focus your eyes? Your eyes need to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be focused on God. They need to be fixed on God, and that there is that knowing that He is with you, that He is leading you, He is guiding you. He is the one that you need to hold on to. He is the one that you need to focus on to keep the glory of God before you. And again, I go back to watching the news. If you're going to guard your heart, you need to guard how much you're watching. You need to limit how much time you spend. 30 minutes a day is enough. I believe it's wise to be informed of what's going on. And I'm just throwing a number out there, but 30 minutes a day is probably enough of news. But to sit and just to watch it, absorb it, and get on your computer and listen to the things that, focusing on the things that are looking at the video clips and stuff that people are showing, I throw it out there as a caution to you that if you're going to guard your heart, you need to guard your eyes. And again, a lot of free time right now for everyone. And so focusing again on the fact that we need to be vigilant about what we are watching, the movies you watch, the kind of things that you allow to enter your mind through your eyes. So guard your heart by guarding your eyes. And we go on verse 26 says this, "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." And while this is probably not so difficult for us right now because we are limited in being able to go away and get away and that kind of thing, so it's not such a big challenge for us to guard our feet and be careful where we go. But again, that's one of the things that the scripture speaks to in guarding our heart. We need to guard where we go. We need to guard what kind of things we're doing. And again, I think that in light of the mandates that are given for us to stay at home and only go out for the things that are essential, whether it's your work or food or medicine, whatever it might be. So it's a small way that we can honor what they're asking us to do and by not going places here that we shouldn't be going. So just as it relates to the situation here and now. Then going on in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge." So again, here we have this here, one of the essential things of guarding our hearts is lending our ears to the Lord. And I come back to what we're listening to, the media and all that kind of stuff. How much time are we spending actually getting quiet before God and lending our ear to Him, listening, checking out what does God want, what is for us, what is His direction for us? So it's important that we know and that we can seek the Lord that way and find direction from Him as we listen to Him, as we yield our hearts to Him. So as it says there, going back to the key verse there, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keeping the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word "issues" defined in a Strong's Concordance as boundaries, sources, outgoings, we could term it the central, as a central focus, we use the phrase the heart of the matter. And what the Bible is speaking about, for out of the heart, our body, soul, and spirit, out of the heart, that is the heart of our being. That is the innermost part of our being. That is where things come from. So in guarding our heart, it will make a huge difference in how we respond and we react. The word heart, it references the center of an object. In the Hebrew, it means the kernel of the nut. It has to do with one's feelings, the will, the intellect. It is that object that does the decision making for the individual. And one of the things that is brought to my mind again is that God starts with the heart. So we should guard the heart. God, whenever He is dealing with things, whenever He is dealing with situations in our lives, He starts with the heart. And He always goes to the heart and He works outward. In Matthew 12:34 says this, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So keep is a to keep our hearts, it's a personal responsibility. It's not the responsibility of your pastor. It's not the responsibility of your spouse. It's not the responsibility of your parents. It is a personal responsibility, a command that is given to each and every one of us to keep our hearts. That is the responsibility that God has given us. And so it is something that we need to take action on, and we need to take action immediately to keep the heart. And just another scripture I have to share with you here is Proverbs 3, just jumping back a chapter. Proverbs chapter 3, and I just want to look at this briefly and point out a few things. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." What is it that adds peace to us? It is that we do not forget his law, that we keep his commands, and that the length of days and long life and peace they will add to us. It goes on in verse 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." And here's my word to you this morning from this scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And I go back to verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. All of your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. I think we're probably challenged more today with that than any time in the recent past here. Is to try and lean on our own understanding, to try and figure out what is going on, what is God doing, what is real. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And then again, this is one of the things that I throw out there as a challenge to us, not to be wise in our own eyes, but to trust God, to lean on Him, and to let Him be the one that enlightens our paths and gives us the way forward. We are living in challenging times, there's no doubt. And there's some scriptures, again, where in Ephesians 6:15, and let me just share quickly some of those with you. Ephesians 6:15, it says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Let me read it again. "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." I'm here to tell you today that the gospel will bring peace to you. The gospel will fill your heart with peace. Fill your heart with the gospel. Fill your heart with the word of God. And then he goes on in verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we're looking at the armor of God that Paul is led to describe. And this is what Matthew Henry says about this. Our enemies strive to prevent our ascent to heaven, to deprive us of heavenly blessings, and to obstruct our communion with heaven. They assault us in the things belong to our souls and labor to deface the heavenly image in our hearts. Therefore, we have need to be upon our guard against them. That is, against the enemies of heaven. And so the way we do that is putting on that armor of peace and faith. And again, in verse 15 it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I'm afraid to say that this is a place where I believe that Satan has many Christians over the barrel today. They have yielded their hearts to fear. And they are not experiencing the peace of God. There is a restless spirit in the life of believers. Restlessness, anxiety, fear that have taken over. And it comes when we allow the armor to be taken away, having removed from our feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. When we remove those things, we open our hearts up. We open ourselves up. See, in warfare, the heart is always protected because that's where life is. And that's the way it is spiritually. We need to protect our hearts. And as I go back to the title of the message, guard your heart. Guard your heart. I can't say it often enough. Guard your heart. And I look at it again. As you remember the story of the children of Israel and how Pharaoh was kind of a type of Satan against the children of Israel. And how that he was bent on their destruction. But I find it interesting that in the time, in the last, when the Passover, when the children were going to be killed, the eldest of the people of Egypt. We all know the story of how the Passover came about, where they took a lamb, they slaughtered the lamb, and they put the blood on the lintels and on the doorposts. And when the death angel came through Egypt, the families, the children of Israel, were in their homes with their door shut, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And I assure you this morning that if you are at that place, if you are at that place, if you are covered by the blood of the Lamb, it doesn't really matter what else happens to you. Physically, spiritually, keep guarding your heart. Keep turning your mind towards the Lord. We have this here sense that there's a gathering doom, and we feel that. We say, okay, this is different. This is really, we have not experienced this before. But put our trust and our fears to rest. And I'm just going to share one more scripture with you. In 1 Peter 3, it says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. He has begotten us to a living hope. We have a living hope. It is not dead. It is not dead. Today we have a living hope. And it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our living hope. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be taken away. The government, the virus, nothing can take that living hope from you. It is only as you surrender it. If you surrender that hope, then it is taken to an inheritance incorruptible. So what is our living hope? It is that we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. How are we kept? It is by the power of God that we are kept. Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. It is you greatly in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is a time of testing. This is a time of testing that faith. And it says this, and let me read again in verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. This is one of those various trials that I believe that we're going through right now. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I read from Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and expectation of those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Let me read it again. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. These are some fearful times, some times that we don't understand. And there should be no greater fear than the fear to come to that great day of judgment and stand before the Almighty God without the covering of the blood of Jesus. That should be our greatest fear. You know, we went through other diseases. Mad cow, West Nile, AIDS, and today, coronavirus, COVID-19. So how do we overcome the fear of doom? It is in this scripture, it is guarding our hearts. It is guarding our hearts with all diligence. It is guarding our hearts with all diligence. So again, the conclusion of what I want to leave with you here today is that it's found in Isaiah 41:10. Says this: "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so as we go about this here virus and we go through it and we take our time, I believe that God is going to bring us through this. He's going to make us better people. But it is in our part to guard our hearts and our minds. To guard our hearts, because out of our hearts the issues of life come. So let me pray for you. And I want you to know that I am praying for you. I pray diligently for you as a church. And I hope that we can soon get together again. I look forward to that day. I'm excited about that. So guard your hearts. Keep your minds in. And we will get back together again. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your holy written word and know that you alone are the one that we can count on. You alone are the one that we can draw our strength from. Father, we yield ourselves to you this morning. God, we yield our hearts to you. And I pray, Lord, that for each one that hears this message, that there would be a renewed energy to guarding hearts and minds. And I pray, Father, that you would give us the grace to do that. That you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, you have promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we are leaning on that promise and we are holding on to it. God, I pray for the church. I pray, Father, that there would be a continued preservation of the Spirit as much as the body. That in this time that we are apart, Father, that you would remind us to pray for each other. God, I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that have lost their jobs and have struggled with, are struggling with finances, or struggling with the patience of being at home. And God, I pray that you would continue to just to show yourself in so many different ways. God, give us the grace to walk through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings to you, in Jesus' name. Jesus, you're my